Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be with you on this Friday, wrapping up our week, going through a couple verses of John chapter 12. And these have been intense verses. Again, Jesus is intense with his mission, right? He submits his life to the Father, and his mission is to come and die and bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. His mission is to come, be obedient to the Father, save us from eternal death, and bring us home and give the Father back the offering that he deserves. This is Jesus's mission, and he's saying, follow me on this mission. And he says something intense too. He says, whoever loves his life here will lose it, but whoever hates his life will gain eternal life. And so he's leading us into this place of saying, we have to have some detachment, some neutrality about our life on earth, because this is not our home. Heaven is our home. And so we have to have detachment about what is happening here, about what we want here, about getting everything we need here, and submit our lives to the plan of the Father. And so we've talked about so far this week the hour that Jesus speaks of, the timing of the Father, the perfection of the Father's plan that Jesus brings himself into. The hour is coming for the Son of Man to be glorified. The glory of the Father, this amazing truth that I do not want you to forget as we wrap up this week. Pray about this. Put it in your heart that the glory of the Father shines on the face of Jesus when he's crucified. Yes, when he's resurrected. Yes, when he goes to glory with the Father. But when he submits himself to death and the beauty and the power of his obedience and his crushing of death through death, this is where the nature of God is shown. That God takes even the worst things, the most hopeless things, the most horrific things, and he uses them. Not that he inflicts them on us, but he uses them for his glory and for your good. And we talked about that Genesis 50 passage, what man meant for evil, God used for good. And the cross shows us that even in your wounds, even in your shame, even in your brokenness, those places in your story where you don't want anybody to see, you don't want anybody to look at, God wants to come and shine his glory there. And your wounds and your struggles can become the most glorious part of your story, leading you to the Father. So let's go ahead. We're going to pray, and then we're going to wrap up our time together doing John chapter 12. If you'll join me in Psalm 125, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Lord, make us trust in you. Help us to trust in you, even when it's hard. And help us be unshaken like Mount Zion, that by putting our trust in you, we may become sturdy, we may become stable, we may become confident in who you are and what you've done for us. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back to John chapter 12, starting in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So Jesus, in these passages, he keeps getting more and more challenging. So he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to go. I'm going to take up my cross. The hour has come for me to be glorified. And unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. And he says, then I'm going to continue on and say, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. If anyone serves me, he's saying, if you want to be my disciple, he says it another place like this, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He's saying, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where did Jesus just tell us that he's going? He says, I'm going to glory, but the first step in the process of glorification is crucifixion. So he's saying, if anyone wants to serve me, they go where their master is going. And where is the master going? He's going to Calvary. He's going to the cross. And friends, I really believe in this hour, so many people are deserting the church, they're deserting faith, they're deserting Christianity because they weren't prepared when they were evangelized to go to the cross, because what was preached to them and what is being preached constantly in Christianity throughout the world is a Christianity without the cross. We want the resurrection. We want the gifting. We want the blessing. We want the anointing. We want the fun adventure. We want to be sent to the nations. We want God to use us, but we don't want the cross. You cannot have Christianity without the cross. And so we want to serve in the church. We want to be liked by everybody. We want to hold positions where people see us. We want to have influence. We want to be on stage. We want God to never allow us to suffer. We want God to give us the job we want and the husband we want and our circumstances to go exactly as we want them in every day, or we're grumpy against God, or our emotions are up and down, or whatever it is. And he's saying, I never promised you a Christianity without the cross. And it's so unexpected for people. They're like, wait, I'm suffering. What? I thought God was supposed to be good. This was supposed to be a fun adventure. But Jesus is clear about what discipleship is. He says, I'm going to glory and I'm bringing you with me, but you have to follow me where I go. And for many, many people, friends, they want Jesus, but they do not want to follow him to the cross. We want to hold on to our lives. We're saying, I'll follow you where the crowds are. I'll follow you when you're doing miracles. But to that place, I don't want to follow you. It's too hard. It wasn't what I was expecting. I can't do it. And Jesus is saying, no, but this is the place of glory. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant shall be also. But he also says this, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And so he's saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to be in glory with my Father. The glory of the Father will shine out through me. And if you come with me where I am, you can also be. You can come with me when I go to the Father. You can be healed. You can be whole. The glory of the Father can shine on you. You can have with me the glory that I had with the Father before the foundation of the world. You can have it. But you have to follow me first to the cross. There is no resurrection without the cross. We've been talking about what greatness looks like, what the greatness of our lives look like. We've been talking about the saints in this aspect. And I love this. Jesus, he says to us, come be with me where I am and you will have this glory. And we see this in the lives of the saints. And there's a blessed that I love. Her name is Blessed Chiara Corbella. And I've read this book about her life a number of times. She died when she was 28. She lived really in modern times. She died in 2012. And she has an amazing story of she married a young man named Enrico, and they began to try to have children, and they had some terrible situations with their children where the first baby was born like really malformed and passed away, and then she had lost another baby after that, and then finally she got pregnant after that, and she was diagnosed with a very painful hard cancer, and she chose to forego the treatment so that her baby could be born, and the baby survived, Francesco, but she ended up passing away before the baby would grow up. And so she really gave her life for this baby. And there's a book written in which her husband writes this preface. And she had a very normal life, but her life was filled with suffering. And for many of us, we look back and we're like, oh, I want to be like Chiara. But if we were to receive the crosses that she received in her life, we might have rejected that. We might not have taken the steps that she took. And so we look to her life. We look to her life. And as we're talking about this glory, and a grain of wheat falling to the ground and die, there's a couple quotes from the book about her life that really struck me. And her husband says this, writing to her. He says, it was necessary for you to die, my love. It was necessary so that the blind see, so that the thirsty drink, so that the arrogant are routed in their heart, and so that his people know that slavery has ended and the king comes in glory. This book exists simply to give witness to the one who wishes to open his heart to the reality that God is good and that one can die happy. It's her husband saying to her, it was necessary. I'm sad. This was so hard. But the suffering that you had, the way that you died, it was necessary so that the eyes of the blind can be opened, so that the thirsty may drink, so the arrogant can be confronted about who Jesus is, so that people can know that the slavery of darkness is ended and that the king comes in glory, that through the simplicity of Kiara's life, through losing her life as she fell to the ground as a grain of wheat, she bears much fruit because people saw through her life, through choosing joy, through choosing to love Jesus, through choosing to sacrifice her life in each moment, they saw that he is the one, that he is worth it, that he is glorious, that she was going to a better place, and she chose in each moment, even when it was hard, to cling to the cross of Christ and to be raised up on that cross, and through it, her life showed the glory of the King. Her life showed the glory of the King shined forth. Now, I love this last quote. When she was on her deathbed, she was dying, she was in a room with a tabernacle, and this was the night before she was to pass away. And her husband was sitting there. He said to her, "Kiara," he asked, "is this yoke, the cross, really sweet as Jesus said?" And Kiara, smiling and turning her glance from the tabernacle to her husband, said in a weak voice, "Yes, Enrico, it is very sweet." Truly, Jesus had not deceived them. They were on the right course. Enrico sent an instant message to their friends. "The lamps are lit. We are waiting for the spouse." In the last moment of her life, witnessing to the fact that losing her life was worth it. I love that Jesus had not deceived them. He had not led them astray. He said, "If you take my yoke upon you, if you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, if you lose your life for the sake of the kingdom, you will gain it." And friends, there's this mystery that although Jesus does not impose the cross on us, when we take it up willingly, when we receive everything in our life as it comes and allow the Father to use it for his glory, the cross becomes sweet. The yoke becomes easy. The burden becomes light. And it says, "It is very sweet. He has not deceived us. He will never lead us on the wrong course." And so friends, in this hour, when people want to be heroic, people want to be grand, we want to live big lives, God wants us to live a big life. But what does it look like to live a big life for the kingdom? Glory in the kingdom looks like we are going to die. We are going to die to ourselves. We are going to cling to the cross of Christ, and we want to be glorified with him. It doesn't look like praise in the world. It doesn't look like everybody loving us. It looks like us surrendering our life to the King and him deciding and dying with him in his death and being resurrected with him in glory. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.